Welcome to Thrive. We're so glad you're joining us today as we continue our series in the book of 1 Peter. This incredible letter that Peter wrote that's really hitting on all sorts of different topics, all sorts of different key issues that we deal with living as what? A Christian in a non-Christian world. That's where we live. That's what's going on. And that's why we're studying this book. We also encourage you to follow along and do a Bible app plan with us. These are about 3 to 5 days. They'll have a devotional and some scripture, and you can just join us in doing that. If you download the app to your phone or tablet, you can make a very simple account. You can follow me. My name is Ed Grant. You can send me a friend request, and you can join us in these 3 to 5 days, and they're over the topic that we are talking about. Remember, and who are we talking about? You're going to remember this guy. Peter starts off as Simon. He's a fisherman in Capernaum. He meets Jesus. Jesus calls him to leave the fishing business and join in the people business and help people come to know Jesus as their Savior. He ultimately ends up denying Christ, becomes the leader of the early church because Jesus, after raising from the dead, calls him again. Peter, come. Follow me. Be the leader of the church. He ultimately dies as a martyr. And that is Peter's story. Now, last week, Peter, right, he's talking about his what? Right where we seem to be. In this whole idea of our workplaces, that do you understand when we're following Jesus, he can actually take a workplace and turn it into a place where faith could be found. That's powerful. That's what it looks like when we're following Jesus. That's how powerful it can be when we are following Jesus. Our workplace can be turned into a place where faith can be found. So this week is about marriage. And you got to remember where we've been the last 2 weeks. What were we told? Be subject. Come underneath the governing authorities. And then on top of that, last week was all about in your places of direct authority, where you have a boss, your employer, an administrator, a teacher, you need to do the same thing. Why? You have an opportunity to impact them for Jesus. If you are following Christ, you can turn a workplace, you could turn a school into a place where faith can be found just by following Jesus. Where Jesus tells us, I want you to be subject to them. I want you to put yourself underneath them and have the opportunity for huge impact, huge impact. And the same goes today when he's talking about our marriage, that following Jesus can impact our marriage. It has a huge impact. Now, to start, we got to be upfront and honest about a couple things that Peter knows and is already thinking about as he's writing this. He is not writing this in a typical church setting where you have husbands and wives and he's asking them to do something. Okay, he's writing this in a couple different ways. The first one is with this idea that our faith might be the most at risk of us walking away from in a marriage with someone who doesn't share our faith. Now, for Peter's first century audience, they had no choice. Marriages were arranged. They were brokered. They were a deal that was done. And, you know, you could have gone to your parents and said, listen, But daddy, I'm following Jesus. I don't want to marry that guy. He's not following Jesus. And your dad might look at you and go, I don't care. It's a great deal. I care about the deal. And you were put in a marriage where your spouse was not following Christ. Happened all the time. It happens. And this is different, right? This is not where we live. Where we live is, students, you're making dating decisions not based on who's following Jesus, are you? No. And you think you're going to be the exception. Let me tell you, if he's not in church when you're dating, if she's not in church when you're dating, if you're not following Jesus together then, it is not going to magically happen when you get married. It's just not. You are not the exception. You're not the person that's going to, you know, outdo the odds. If you knew the odds, you wouldn't ever make that type of gamble. But many of our students do all the time. They choose to date somebody and ultimately marry somebody who's not following Jesus. Don't do it. Your faith is most at risk of walking away from in a marriage with someone who doesn't share your faith. So why would you start it when you're dating? Why? Is it because you just like, well, I don't trust God to come through or to do what he says he's going to do? And if that's it, be honest. But what is it that's keeping you from following Jesus in those relationships? Because I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. So Peter's dealing with people who are in this situation, okay? But he's also dealing with the following, that Peter's challenging us to live in such a way so an unbelieving world may believe. It wasn't just, hey, your spouse might not be following Jesus. It's the people around you might not be following Jesus, and your marriage has an opportunity to be a witness to them and a testimony to them of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So how about we get this thing right? How about we do things that will actually lead them to Christ by living the way of Christ? This is all he's going to ask to do. He's going to ask us to simply live the way that Christ lived. This is all Peter's doing. He's not pulling something out and making us do stuff just to make us do it. He is asking us to live the way of Jesus and live that way in our marriage and see the difference that it makes. So here we go. In the same way as what? Well, it's in the same way as we were told to put ourselves underneath governing authorities, as we were told to put underneath employees, bosses, right? Employers, bosses, administrators, for students, teachers. In the same way, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Don't be subject to everybody. No. To your own husbands. Why? And I know, we get this major pushback. Oh, this is old, this is antiquated. Just hold on. Again, what's his goal? His goal is that you would live in such a way as, ladies, if your husband is not a Christ follower, it would actually turn them. And it would make an impact on your kids. It would make an impact on the people around you. The ladies, the people you work with, the people you socialize with, it would make a difference in those marriages. If you would live in this way. And he continues because he wants to further define it and help all of us understand this. Then, okay, if you do this, then even if some are disobedient to the word, okay, they're just disobedient, okay? You hear the word church and maybe they're a part of that with you and they're walking away. They're disobedient to it. They will be won over without a word. Isn't that amazing what Peter thought? Peter didn't think, ladies, your vocabulary and your word usage and the number of words needed to increase. He said, no, that could actually decrease. And you could make a difference without saying a word. No, but I can manipulate him and I could nag him and I can get him to do what I want. No, that's not what he's calling you to. Ladies, that's not what he's calling you to. He is calling you to live in such a way that even if your husband not a Christ follower, was a Christ follower and walked away, that's happened, they will be won over without a word by the way you live. Live in such a way as to win them over. When they see your pure and reverent conduct. In other words, when they see respect. When they experience respect, it will make a huge difference. And it will actually have an opportunity to win them over to Christ. They'll have that kind of opportunity. Let your beauty not be external. The braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. And he's really defining particular things in his day and his time. The whole idea is, I know you think it's all about the external. You might think it's all about the external. And he's certainly not saying, ignore that. And just do whatever you want, and right, it doesn't matter. He's not saying that either. What he's saying is what? This is not what's going to make the difference. Okay? This is not what's going to make the difference. Oh, if I just get rid of that gray, he'll make a difference, right? Then he'll know. Then that'll win him over. No. Don't be fooled that this is the way. But the inner person of the heart, the lasting beauty of a gentle and tranquil spirit, which is precious in God's sight. I don't care what everybody else sees. I care what God sees, Peter says. What he's looking at, ladies, what is your heart? Is it one that is wanting your husband to come to know Christ, to follow Jesus, for the people around you to see your marriage because you and your husband follow Jesus together and the other people would see that. Maybe there's areas that you want your husband to follow Christ and he isn't. He says, do you understand? That's not external, that's internal. And if you live that way, do you understand God sees it? Which is the most important? He says, that's the most important thing. God sees it. God sees it. And he says, I want you to live that way because it'd be powerful. You think it's external? No, it's internal. Live that way. It's going to make a huge difference. From the same way, the holy women who hoped in God long ago, he says, do you understand? This is what happened. This is what took place. Adorned themselves by being subject to their husbands, by showing respect. Now he's going to give an example. And this example, if you're not careful, you're not going to understand what he means because it's just one you kind of breeze over and go, what? Okay, look at this. Like Sarah who obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Are you telling me I got to go home and call my husband Lord? No, that's not what it means, okay? It means that she used words of respect and she called him and used his name in such a way that was respectful. Is that true? Do you talk about your husband in front of him or worse, behind his back? That is respectful. That is what it's talking about. You become her children when you do what is good and have no fear in doing so. When you have no fear in doing what is right. The story of Abraham and Sarah, there's one part that kind of gets breezed over. And if you don't just know the history of what's going on, you kind of breeze over it. Sarah was Abraham's niece. And Sarah's father died. And in that culture, what was required then is that Abraham and his brother, they would marry his nieces, okay? Abraham chose Sarah, and he also brought Lot into his family. Lot and Sarah are actually brother and sister. And why? Do you know that Sarah couldn't have children? Well, why would Abraham choose her? Yeah. Do you understand that that act in that culture was an incredible act of love? Abraham showed her great love. Sarah showed him great respect. And he brought Lot in because he said, well, in choosing Sarah, I am giving up the chance to have children and an inheritance. And he was willing to give that up and lay that down for her. So you can understand why she had respect for him. Respecting your husband has the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Ladies, do you understand that? So if you're listening to me and your husband's not following Jesus, you have an opportunity. Not by what? Not by nagging him, manipulating him, whatever you think might work. By respecting him, you have the opportunity to lead him to Christ. You have the opportunity to show your children what marriage looks like. You have the opportunity with the people around that you have influence over. You have the opportunity to lead them to Christ. And that's powerful. Do you understand, ladies, when you respect and when you don't respect, you are representing Christ. You're representing Christ. The times you do, the times you don't. It's not like, oh, well, okay, Jesus, I'm not representing you. I'm doing my own thing right now. No, we don't get to do that. When you respect, when you don't respect, you are representing Christ. Guys, let's talk about us for a moment. Husbands in the same way. In the same way, this idea of you make a choice. I want you to submit to what I'm going to ask you to do. In the same way, treat your wives with considerations as the weaker partners. Men, please use your strength for good, not for bad. We have got this so wrong that now we're just trying to teach women to be strong and telling men, you need to be weak. No, if men would use your strength for good, it would make all the difference. It's men using strength for evil that creates so many of the problems that we have. And so this is what he's saying. You need to treat your wives with consideration as the weaker partner and show them honor. That's your word, men. as fellow heirs of the grace of life. In this way, nothing will hinder your prayers. The word is honor. And there's lots of ways we can make examples and we can think about how this makes a difference. But honoring your wife has the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Well, what does that look like? You honor them with your words. You honor them by the way you live. In other words, you go out with your friends and you take your wedding ring off because, well, you know, I have more fun that way. I get to flirt. No, you don't get to. Why? Because that's not honoring your wife. It's not honoring to her. It's not honoring to her to do things. And men, we have to consider this. There's lots of ways this looks like. There's lots of ways this comes up that we end up not honoring our wives. We end up being bad at this because we're just not thinking. We're thinking about ourselves and what we want and how can we get it. And we're not thinking about honoring them. But honoring your wife, man out there, your wife not following Jesus, if you would honor her, it would make a huge difference. Men, your kids are looking at you. Your daughters are looking at you for the way they should be treated. Your sons are looking at you for the way they treat women, that their strength should be used for good. They're looking at you. And if you're not honoring your wife, you are not setting for them an example of what they should do. They're actually learning the wrong things, and you don't want them to do that. So he says, honor your wife. It has the opportunity to lead them to Christ. It has the opportunity to lead people around you to Christ. In your workplace, what if you show up at Monday complaining about your wife? What if you actually showed her honor in your words? What kind of a difference would that make if you simply did that? So men, are you honoring your wives? I want you to think about that. Because there might be things that you're doing that I didn't mention or didn't talk about, but the Holy Spirit would just reveal to you, yeah, that's not very honoring to her, is it? When you do that, stop. That's having an impact on your marriage. It's having an impact on your family. It's having an impact on the people around you. When you honor men, and when you don't honor, you are representing Christ. You are representing Christ. The times you choose to honor and the times you choose not to honor. It's not a switch you just flip on and off. And hey, guys, just letting you know at work today, today's a day I'm not a Christian and I'm just going to slam my wife and just say terrible things about her because I'm upset. But up front, I'm not a Christian today. We don't get to do that. We don't get to live that way. We don't get to do that. No, on those days that you walk into work and do that, you have declared to all those people, really? Well, he's no different from me. Why should I follow Christ? I just end up giving up my Sundays. I end up giving up a lot of other fun things, right, that I think are fun, right? I just end up giving up things. Why would I do that? That's the impact you're having. You don't want that type of impact. You want to have an impact that actually represents Christ and leads people to Jesus. Do you know, for those of you out there specifically, if your spouse is not a Christ follower, your job is not to make them believe, okay? Can't make our spouse believe, but to live out being a Christ follower. That's what it means. You're not going to make them do anything. Stop trying. Stop trying and start living it. And see the difference that it makes. Stop trying to manipulate. Stop trying to just figure this out, right? Stop. And start just simply following Jesus. Ladies respecting, men honoring, and seeing the difference that makes. All right, here's our wrap up this morning. Following Jesus turns a marriage into a place where faith can be found. Wow. Following Jesus takes a marriage and turns into a place where faith can be found by our spouse, if they're not a follower, by our kids, by the people around us who are looking at our marriage and saying, okay, I know what they did yesterday. They went to church. Did it make a difference? Did it make a difference? That'd be a question for you. Did it make a difference? Does this word, submitting to it and putting myself under it, make a difference? It should. It should. You know, Peter, we know that Peter was married. We know that because we have certain evidence of that. For example, when Peter was following Jesus, he was a disciple. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. What did he do? Oh, what am I going to do? How are we going to fit? He brings Jesus into the place. Can you imagine the impact that had on that family, on that marriage? Hey, mother-in-law, I got the answer. His name is Jesus. And he goes out and he brings Jesus in. What a difference that makes. Tradition tells us that Peter wasn't crucified alone. That before he was, his wife was. How strong does a marriage need to be for both to lay down their life for Jesus? Big question. I think he knows what he's talking about. And I'm not saying Peter always got it right, but perhaps Peter and his wife figured out what it looked like to honor and what it looked like to respect and use that to build marriage as they followed Jesus together. What would it look like in our homes, ladies, men, if we simply did this? So I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for you specifically if you have a spouse who's not following Jesus, because it is hard, it is difficult. And I want to pray for our students, because your decisions are very important. Don't make the one lightly who you're dating, because they'll ultimately decide who you marry. And you want to make sure that person is one who shares the value you have of following Jesus. And I want to pray for all the marriages out there. Let's just ask God to work so powerfully. It impacts our own marriage. It flows out into our family and into the people around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a lot. This is a big subject to tackle in just a little bit of time. Would you? I pray that you would help the words that have gone out. May they be encouraging, convicting. Would your word just move us to do something different than we've done before? That means, Father, would you help our students to make very wise decisions who they're dating, ultimately who they will marry? Would you help those who are married to someone who is not following Jesus? It's hard, it's challenging, it's difficult. Would you help them to live out the honoring and the respecting that it would make a difference? And would you help all of us men to get this right? And to use our strength for good and honor our wives. And would you help all the ladies to make decisions to live with respect and watch the difference that makes? Jesus, we know you can turn a marriage into a place that's a place where faith can be found and dictated and shown to others. Do something great and powerful in all the marriages today of those following you. Let the way we live lead people to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to contact us, if you'd like prayer because you are in one of those marriages and it's hard and difficult, go to our website, thrivingenola.com. Contact us. There's ways to do that. We'd love to pray for you and encourage you in your journey of following Jesus. Next week, we're at it again. 1 Peter, learning more of what it means to live as a Christian in a non-Christian world. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.